Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 513. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing fine, enjoying the beginning of my vacation so far. It seems like it's been a long time since I've been on the show, and it's no Roman Reigns promo, and no one died. So.
Those are positives. This one took a little more scheduling than I would have preferred. It is kind of amusing that the one week you were available in between was the only week that Ken desperately needed to record on a Tuesday night.
It's so funny how that goes, but that's how life goes.
Yes, it is. But we're here. There is, I think, plenty to talk about in a very... I would have to say weird and abstract way, like Jeremy and I did last week, where we can probably do a decent job of talking about the product without talking about the product. And you brought up a good conversation piece. Seth Rollins getting, I don't know if you'd say arrogant, a little confident on, I think it's mostly Twitter, isn't it?
Yeah. So he basically came out and, like, you know, proclaimed himself like the best wrestler in the world and the best company in the world. You know, like wrestlers do, talk about themselves in a positive way. And the normal fans came and said stuff like they always said, some in agreement, some in disagreement. And then Will Ospreay jumped in and said, like, you forgot about me. And then they start going back and forth. And that's when wrestling Twitter had, like, a policy divide. And I guess we need the Pope to settle this.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone's ever really gonna settle it, and yeah, I don't know why Will Ospreay was the one that jumped into that conversation, to be completely honest with you,
because he feels he's the best in the world. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they go in a back and forth, and basically Will Ospreay's like, I work more than you and I've had more 5-star matches, and Seth's like, you know, more people see me, my match is more important, and I make more money than you. And then that's when people really got mad. It's like, oh, he's bringing up money. And one, don't wrestling nerds always solve everything, like, who's a draw? Don't we hear all the time, like, this person's, you know, like, I can't like such and such because he didn't draw. Is the reason why they said I'm not supposed to like Sting, because Sting didn't really draw money and all this stuff. So it's funny that they use that for their arguments all the time. But as soon as Seth Rollins uses it, like, it's blasphemy. And two, as far as this humble thing, you don't talk about how great you are, how much money you make. When I was watching wrestling in the 80s, I heard Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes brag all the time about how much money they made and how important everything was. I heard the Iron Sheik talk about he was roughest, toughest guy in the territory, WWF. All the great people, great professional wrestlers all come here and get beat by the Sheik. And no one had a problem with that. Ric Flair comes out bragging about his suits and ties and jackets and Rolexes, about how he's representing Jim Crockett Promotion, where the best wrestlers in the world wrestle. Dusty Rhodes, Mr. Son of a Plumber, that had affairs with Kathleen Turner when he wasn't being a common man, comes on the fur coat and brags about himself and how great he is. Shane Douglas himself used to be on ECW at 2 a.m. in the morning, bragging about how he was the best in the world and insulting Ric Flair because he beat Mikey Whipwreck, and he was a hero. The Rock bragged about it. Everyone has bragged about it. Jay Lethal has bragged about it. Now, all of a sudden, Seth Rollins brags about being great in WWF, like the same Seth Rollins who people told how great he's been the past 3 years, and now's the problem?
Yeah, I mean, that's... people are fucking crazy. Well, you know that, like, this is always one of those things that crosses my mind. Like, I know that in my youth, there were some opinions that I tossed out just to be an ass. And I would imagine that there's some amount of people on Twitter these days that do that still. So it's always weird, though, that... that there are that many people jumping on it. I don't get it. Like, because like you said, Seth Rollins really has been great. Like, it is kind of bizarre that, well, actually I was thinking about the other thing, I guess. And I didn't really get to read it, but evidently he had some response to, you know, John Moxley and WWE creative being terrible. Seth Rollins has gotten over despite them being terrible.
Yes.
I mean, it would
that's a separate thing, and I'm sure some, you know, wink, wink, nod stuff between those two because they're actually friends. So I didn't really pay that much mind to it. And like Moxley is justified to feel how he wants to feel about creative based on the stories we've heard. So I don't even worry about that. You know what I've learned? Uh-huh. People don't mind calling you great. They mind when you call yourself great. And only they mind when you call yourself great when it's like they figure you're corporate. Because CM Punk walked around calling himself the best in the world, dropping that shitty ass elbow drop, desecrating the memory of Randy Savage, and people still chant for him. No one had a problem with that. No one had a problem with Chris Jericho calling himself the best he is at what he does because he started enunciating and wearing a suit from Men's Warehouse. So why am I supposed to get mad at Seth Rollins for? Because he rightfully calls himself the best. And like I pointed out, if you don't feel like you're the best, and you don't feel like the place you work for is the best, why would anybody want to be there?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, and I mean, it's definitely something to defend. Like, well, A, I can't believe, well, maybe Ospreay's competed more in England, but I only count anything that I see in New Japan is actually happening. Because I would think that Rollins really probably had more matches.
Somebody broke it down, and like it was like five or six people had more matches. Ospreay was one of them. And I don't know if that's anything to brag about, because it's like, okay, so you don't get days off. Then we just learned from John Moxley, like, that's a problem, working too much. And I mean, it's more hilarious, like, Brock Lesnar gets criticism for barely working, even though it's like that's his contract. Now we're bragging about who I work more without taking less breaks, and they comparing like work style to work rates. Of course, Will Ospreay can do more. He doesn't have limiters like Seth Rollins does. Seth Rollins can do silly shit if they let him. Is that really a smart thing to do?
Oh, yeah. Some of those matches, even in New Japan, can kind of get to me a little bit. Like, I'll admit, and maybe it's just because I grew up on it and I've watched it more over the years, the WWE style is still something that's a little more in my wheelhouse, because people aren't basically kind of getting killed before finally being pinned. Unless it's like WrestleMania. Like, there are always kind of some exception periods, but really that didn't start happening until, what, maybe the last 15 years?
And then even then, they kind of tamed it down a little bit because everyone was getting neck injuries. And it's like, you know, it's the reason these older wrestlers get the WWE and want to take it easy. Like, no, I have too much mileage on me. I like walking. And yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Will Ospreay had like red flags as far as his health himself, because I remember like him and Ricochet having matches, and you wonder if they would both be there, and Ricochet's in them, and Rollins brought it up like, you know, I know you're good, we got the better version of you. So chill out and let me pat your head.
Yeah, I mean, Ospreay has kind of had some injury problems, and I mean, I think he was finally smart. Like, I feel like the last couple of matches I've seen from him in New Japan, he has kind of tamed down the style a little bit, which is probably for the best, since his neck is well on its way to being completely fucked in the future.
Yes, and it started with them, but it didn't finish because Wade Keller got involved, and Seth Rollins tweeted at him. Dave Meltzer got involved in this. You saw Mike Bennett tweeting at people. Drake Maverick tweeted at Mike Bennett. Xavier Woods tweeted at them. Like, everybody's just, you know, everybody's just saying everything. And it's just going to get worse or better the closer you get to AEW coming out. And this is how the Monday Night Wars would have been if Twitter was involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's a... I guess if you like that kind of thing, it's going to be interesting. Because, yeah, I mean, you do kind of have your choices. Although, well, yeah. AEW still has a lot to prove and a lot of talent that is still kind of mainly WWE trained.
Yeah. I mean, I personally don't have a problem with it because it's like, I just take it for what it is. It's trash talking and trash talking to it. Like, they haven't talked about families. They haven't got personal. So yeah. What? Like, they're not going to have a shootout in the real life. Let them. It cracks me up. What gets me is the reaction by wrestling fans, because wrestling fans always talk about, we want some more energy, we want juice, everything's too orchestrated and scripted. And then they finally get it, they don't know how to handle, you need to be humble. And no, I don't want my professional wrestling champions to be humble. And none of them, like, who was the last one that was humble? Bob Backlund? Bret Hart was bragging about being the best there ever will be after he beat the damn Repo Man. And that was Bret Hart. Like, this whole keep your head down and don't say nothing. Like, say that for hockey, for Canadian hockey players, because the American wasn't arrogant to sell themselves. So,
well, I think some of the Canadians have started to cover that base.
I don't count the French ones, the French Canadians. I'm talking about the whole, I'm just here to play for my organization one shift at a time, and I'm just here to do my shifts, and just hoping to hit the cup, and that's it. Thanks, and Johnson from San Jose, I know nothing about you. There's a reason why people still remember Jeremy Roenick, and it's not just a video game. So personality goes a long way, and personality, like professional wrestling of all places, you want people to be humble. You want them to say, what's Seth Rollins supposed to say? I think I'm okay. I'm going to wait until Dave Meltzer calls me great so I can get in the Hall of Fame voted on by a bunch of old, fat, white guys. Like, what are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, that whole ratings thing, too, is kind of ridiculous. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit of a shame that some of the more fun stuff does happen on Twitter. You know, I kind of wish the on-air product that I was watching was that enjoyable. Like, I mean, we've talked about it a bunch too, just like when we call SmackDown the asshole brand. You know, you kind of want something like that to be happening. You know, like you said, you want Rollins to be that guy. Like, I wish that his character was kind of more that way.
Yeah, I say they've been leaning a little more toward that, especially the past 3 days. Like, I was laughing Monday when they was basically trashing Seth Rollins for basically being a house husband. Talking about, you need to go make your girlfriend a sandwich. Like, go to the back, put an apron on, make sure you polish her belt and all that. Basically, like, the reverse of how they always do normally with the men and women. Like, they basically try and, like, you know, emasculate Seth Rollins, which is hilarious that you realize he's the heavyweight champion of Raw. And he's getting sass from Baron Corbin, of all people.
Oh, yeah. The way you say it and the way that I'm just sitting there going, fucking Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. I'm like, they're still around here. Like, this is...
We can be a power couple. Who wants to see that besides Vince McMahon?
Well, and I don't even get why... I honestly don't get why Lacey Evans would want to be with him.
Like, yeah, like, she feels like it's just a relationship of convenience because she just has this look on her face like, whatever. Damn nasty. Don't touch me.
Well, so. Yeah. I mean, that one where it kind of makes sense when you have someone like Vicky Guerrero doing something like that, but yeah, you know, by any means necessary, but she really doesn't seem like the right woman to be pulling that off.
Yeah, like, it's just kind of like they like her, they like him, they don't really have anybody else right now, because it's kind of like we got to kill time till SummerSlam. So, oof. And the weirdest thing is just the fact that And I talked to Jeremy about it. The fact that they're acknowledging the relationship between Seth and Becky so much, not because it's like wrong or anything like that. It's just like WWE's not used to have for baby faces having sex.
Well, yeah, and they can't just leave them off TV like Lana and Rusev.
Yes. And it's kind of like, no, see, when they're married, it's different. They aren't married, and they aren't heels. So the crowd's not, the fans aren't used to, like, seeing this. And I've heard people complain about that, too. Like, oh, they're pushing that down their throat. I'm like, why? They're together. We know they're together. They're together in real life. They obviously like each other. I mean, we've been seeing romance. I've been watching romance and wrestling since I've been watching wrestling. So, it's a problem now. Like, why? They're not making out in the middle of the ring doing hot tags or some nonsense like that. So what's the problem?
Yeah, they are not trying to pull off the Edge. Was it Edge and Lita with the live sex show or whatever they were supposed to be doing?
The sloppy kiss from hell, basically. Because, boy, Edge was kissing all tongue and chin.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really weird when people do stuff like this. Like, because that's just another example. Like you said, like, Miss Elizabeth, Becky Lynch is in a way different spot than Miss Elizabeth was. But, I mean, that's romance. Like, that's like one of the first wrestling feuds I remember. And it has to do with romance.
Yeah, it's like it was involved with romance and misplaced romance later on. And that was a thing a lot of people grew up with. And then, like, rekindled romance after he lost to Ultimate Warrior. Like, people cried during that. And they made a big deal saying how important it was and how people cried. Because it was like it impacted them. And now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, she's the man. She's going to be tough. What? You can't be tough and have a boyfriend? Oh. But that's kind of like wrestling has always had this issue where if it wasn't a married couple and they were baby faces, they could never portray them being together naturally. It just always either came off as a comedy thing or just like awkward.
Yeah, and this is only awkward because they are being forced into a feud with Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans.
Like, it's an Attitude Era feud in a non-Attitude Era, and that's what's throwing people off. And then it shows, like, the Attitude Era stuff only worked during the Attitude Era.
Yeah. And it kind of gets me around to one of the other things that's kind of been bugging me, man. That, the theme of, like, it just seems like the WWE keeps on going back to the same themes a lot here recently. And, like, another winner-takes-all match, like, It's not quite as bad as the other issue that I am completely ready to talk about too, which is the whole let's make every match a best 2 out of 3 falls.
We gotta kill Tom somehow. I think that's what they kind of settled with. It's like, we're not going to use half these people we signed, so let's have 2 out of 3 falls. Or the other one they have is a singles match that turns into a tag match that turns into a 8-man tag.
And that's what was that second one that you're talking about was the one, like, best 2 out of 3 falls. I guess you can get away with it. I still think it's stupid that all of a sudden you feel this need to do this, because I guess I kind of get the thinking that, you know, sports don't normally have action.
No flukes. That's what they're trying to do. Best 2 out of 3. No flukes like March Madness, I guess, but or what it really is waste time. Yeah, because at least the tag one is like is precedence in that, you know, people start fighting and then someone comes and makes a save. It normally turns to a tag match. I'm like, do people get 2 checks? But that's whatever. The 2 out of 3 one just seems like out of nowhere, and they've been doing a lot on both shows lately.
Well, I guess the thing to me that's been weird about the tag matches, like, because just like tonight, like, there was a full match that happened with New Day and Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. Like, there was a finish to that match. Like, it wasn't even like you're talking about where there was an interference in the middle of it. Like, it was a full-on match. And they did that a couple of, because I feel like they did that on Raw too, where it's just like, well, why is this other group still involved? Why isn't there just another tag match with like all four people at ringside?
Yeah, it's just kind of like we got to get them on the show somehow. And I didn't complain because the match ended up being good. It's just like weird where it's like that's the default thing to do. And it's like they have plenty of people they aren't using. You can use them. Is Rusev on vacation? Is he hurt? You know, is Orton, I guess Orton's busy taking care of his kids right now. Nakamura popped up with Finn Balor because you hadn't seen them in weeks. But then, like, beyond that, it's like you hadn't seen Asuka. You see Asuka, Kairi Sane this weekend. Oh. I mean, today. It's like a lot of people on SmackDown you didn't see.
I didn't even think about that. They popped up last week when Jeremy and I were just talking. And, yeah, they did not pop up again this week. I think that's what kills me about the situation is that there are plenty of people to fill this time with. And they're just, I don't know why they're not doing it. Like, why are you paying those people that money if you're not going to use them?
So someone else doesn't use them. Basically, like same thing as WCW did. It's like, you know, and especially with AEW being a thing, is like I'd rather pay you to not do anything than have somebody else use you.
But I mean, the funny thing is that they signed most of these guys before AEW was a thing.
But it's kind of like we can use you for something we don't know yet. Because like Mike Bennett is a perfect example. They signed him. He went in rehab. His wife had a baby. He gets in shape. He's on 205 Live. And then you think they're going to leave. And then they get re-signed for like multiple years. Same thing with Mojo Rawley. Gets re-signed for multiple years. Like, why? Because it's like he wants to be there. Like, he's comfortable being there. Everybody's not going to be like Todd Dillinger, a.k.a. Sean Spears, like, going to leave. It's like, you know, some people want to leave and go ahead and do their own thing. But like, you get to a certain age. It's like, yeah, like I'm in my early to mid 30s. I've already worked indies. I like to be able to have two houses like Tyler Breeze. So I'm going to stay in WWE. If I'm wrestling a main event, so what? At the end of the day, it's a job. And the point of having a job is one, enjoying your job, and two, getting paid. And I will never get on anybody who enjoys a job and enjoys getting paid.
I mean, that is the thing, from their perspective, is that, if you're not wrestling, there is not as much wear and tear on your body, and, I'm sure that there's going to be a benefit down the road, especially if those paychecks are adding up, but I guess you'd want some exposure, like, at least with your Mike Bennett one example, he is getting exposure finally on 205 Live, which is, I guess, not a spot that I'd expect him, but probably a better spot. Like, he was never the biggest guy to start with. So to kind of stay lean and get going on that brand, I think is probably a smart move and on his part. Because he'll definitely, like, he's kind of like Drew Gulak in the way that he's not going to be one of those high flyers. Like, he's definitely going to stand out because he's more of a mat guy. Even though I haven't watched 205 Live, I'm just going by what I saw in Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's always one of those things where it just varies from case to case, in my opinion, about whether they should move along or not. Like, I'm sure that having a child and having health insurance is more of a draw for the WWE at the current moment for the Bennetts, the Bennett Canellises or whatever they are.
Yeah, the Canelli.
The Canelli. Than anywhere else at this moment. So it's kind of like, I guess a lot of people can probably just afford better insurance in the WWE.
Yeah. I mean, like, insurance is the thing. People, indie wrestlers, talk all the time about, you know, they have funds set up for injuries because they don't have like insurance that covers injuries. So it's like they take that into account now. Having having health insurance in America is very important because getting sick in America is a pricey thing to deal with.
Yeah.
It's a very expensive endeavor, especially if you're a private contractor or independent contractor that doesn't get to claim certain things. It's like, and your body is your paycheck. You can't afford to be out.
Yeah, that's kind of that's still a crazy situation that they're all in. Because I can just say that from an easy visit to the ER, that's not a cheap bill, even when you have insurance.
Yes.
Without one, it's got to be pretty ridiculous. So I'm glad I did not have to look at that bill without insurance.
Yeah, I've seen some of those bills because that, you know, normally it's kind of like whatever you pay and then add like 4 zeros.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had an ER visit one time I ended up paying $100 for, and they charged my insurance about $15,000 worth of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. The wife asked me what the bill was, and I gave her the actual number and not what insurance paid. Oh, man, I don't think it stretched into 5 digits, but it was close. I'm glad that I was not even in the neighborhood of paying that much. And man, those drugs that you get to push, they are really expensive.
yes, they are. Not as expensive as the test you have to take, but expensive enough.
Oh, yeah. Tests, always expensive to get licenses. Oh, the joys of professionalhood. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of, because, I mean, we started with the best 2 out of 3 falls thing and how it's kind of, I guess it does kind of drive me a little bit bonkers that just to have that set up to me. Like, it is kind of nice that it does ensure a winner, but there's just been so much shenanigans in pretty much all of it that it just does not help my attitude towards this angle at all. Or this edict that Vince McMahon made, because it was weird. Like, because when I watched Raw last Monday and I'm like, what the hell, a best 2 out of 3 falls match? Like, when did this become a thing? And then it happened on SmackDown. And I guess I wasn't surprised that it kind of became a thing. And that's, I guess it's one of those things that I've really paid attention to this week. And it's one of those, I always say, well, there's a lot of, oh, the WWE needs to change things. And then every time the WWE changes things, I'm like, not that way, man. Not that way. Like, why are you doing it? Oh.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the biggest problem, and it's related to that, not only that Seth Rollins thing is, and Kevin Nash made a good point. It's kind of like, you know, there's plenty of down periods that happen in wrestling, and normally it has nothing to do with the wrestler. It's just the nature of the business. You do the best you can do, and then things will rebound. And he dealt with that, like, when he was champion, got slandered, like, you know, he didn't draw a dime, he didn't do that. It's like, that was not, most of that was not his fault. Like, you know, he's limited what he can do. All he can do is the best he can do. Like, that's like getting mad at Shaq for not shooting threes. It's not his fault he's Rustin Mabel. It's not his fault that he was cool and they tried to turn him to a smiling, uncool dude. Like, that's Vince McMahon's fault. And it's the same thing. Like, Seth Rollins can only do so much in Vince McMahon's WWE. It's not like Will Ospreay could go in WWE and do so much better than Seth Rollins. And that wouldn't be a fault of Seth. That wouldn't be a fault of Will Ospreay. So that's the same thing, really, like, you know, 2 out of 3 falls and these feuds and stuff like that. It's kind of like, you know, I'm sure Becky Lynch would rather be wrestling somebody else, someone more experienced than Lacey Evans. But she's wrestling Lacey Evans because Vince McMahon likes Lacey Evans. So that's who she has to wrestle, and she has to do the best she can do. Seth Rollins has to waste his time with the bouncer, Baron Corbin, because that's who he has to wrestle. I'm sure he would rather wrestle somebody else too. I'm like, he got to look at like Ricochet wrestling AJ Styles and get jealous. Like, why can't I wrestle AJ Styles? Why can't I wrestle Samoa Joe like Kofi Kingston's about to wrestle? Instead, I'm getting Baron Corbin again. This will be the third pay-per-view he's getting involved with Baron Corbin. This is not Steve Austin Mankind. I'm sorry. This isn't Triple H Undertaker. I don't need a trilogy.
Yeah, that's why I kind of got a laugh when I saw the sentiment. When did people get allergic to feuds that lasted 3 months? And I'm just like, it's just when they're terrible, I don't want to see them last 3 months. Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, there is definitely a quality difference between Seth Rollins, Baron Corbin, and any of those feuds that you just mentioned. Like, I didn't care that Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano went like 2 years straight because they kept it interesting the whole time.
Yeah, like when they care about you, you can't get enough. When they don't care about you, it doesn't matter how much you give because it's too much.
Yeah. Oh, man. I guess is there any... Well, I guess there is one kind of interesting setup that we got going on, at least to me. Nikki Cross slowly becoming weird friends with Alexa Bliss.
You mean being manipulated by the pretty girl and doing her dirty work while they're up there, even kill women and telling her like don't fall for this, and Bailey not helping because she's being a bully. Yeah, I'm liking the storyline a lot because it's like it's nuanced. You can see why Nikki Cross is acting the way she is, even though she's being manipulated, because it's like Bailey isn't being sympathetic. But it's not Bailey's fault either, because Bailey, like, all that hugging shit is done. Like, I know Alexa's a bully. I know she's a mean girl. So you beat meanness with meanness. I'm just going to beat you up. And she seems justified in it. And Nikki's like, but no, you're being wrong. And everyone's bullying Alexa because she's short. And she's short.
Yeah, she hasn't gotten enough time, enough airtime recently. That's why she's being bullied. Nah, it's just some concussions. That's all. Not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. You didn't get your opportunity. They're sleeping on you. You didn't get the respect. I'm here to be your friend. And it started off like Nikki not getting respect and Alexa. And because it started off again, it's like Nikki didn't get time. And it's like, you know, she's like, people were ignoring her and I appreciate her. Alexa's like, I appreciate you. You're my friend. I know what you're going through. And then it just curtailed into like changing where. Now, Alexa's the one getting fake sympathy that even though she's using Nikki Cross, but Nikki doesn't see it because Alexa was nice to her.
Yeah, and I do like, because I think that's one of those things that the WWE kind of saw that Becky Lynch was pretty nasty and it got her popular, and Charlotte Flair was nasty and it got her popular. And I definitely think that, you know, with Seth Rollins and with now Bayley, they're kind of giving a little more edge and a little more anger to their baby faces just in general, because it seems that the crowd wants that now.
Yeah, especially with Bayley, because it's like Bayley's been nice for a long time and it feels like she's just been getting taken advantage of like a sucker since she's been on the main roster. So it's like it makes sense for Bayley to like lash out, like enough's enough. I didn't peak in NXT. I'm not going to be the forgotten horsewoman. I'm not going to become smiling all the time. You know, I'm a multiple champion. I was a tag team champion. I can beat you up. And it's like, she towers over Alexa Bliss. So, of course, she should be bullying her. Like, I made the joke to Jeremy, like, they film it with the Andre the Giant camera angle. Because she seemed like she's, like, 7 inches taller than Alexa Bliss.
Probably because she is, and she's only 5'8".
If she's 5'8", then she might be 9 inches taller than Alexa Bliss.
Oh, good old 5 foot of fury is just that. But yeah, I think I mentioned that in the past. Like Bayley is one of the bigger women, like, and she's not even that, you know, that big. Like her and Charlotte are kind of built similar in that they're kind of like that Randy Orton. Kind of tall and lanky situation going on. And that kind of helps. But yeah, and Bailey, yeah, I'm glad that Bailey does finally have something to do. Like, it has been one of the few things recently that has caught my attention and I've enjoyed quite a bit. Oh, and did we have no Firefly Funhouse this week?
Hey, I was mad about that. But what we did have, I don't know if you noticed it during the pay-per-view or, like, was it Raw? His dog kept following Kofi Kingston in the background.
Oh.
Like, two or three times, Kofi would be talking and, like, having a promo, and a little dog be right behind him, like, somewhere in the cut. Like, you have to – it's almost like an Easter egg. Like, if you weren't looking for it, you didn't see it. But if you were, you just happened to notice it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think I was looking for it, but I'm like, hold on. Did I just see something? On Monday, at least. I'm not sure if I noticed anything the SmackDown here. But, yeah, that would be kind of nice. Like, well, Bray Wyatt does kind of deserve to be back in the main event, or at least I would think he would deserve that. I don't know. He's definitely gotten repopularized himself with the Firefly Funhouse.
I will admit, it's a guilty pleasure. I love those skits. And I thought when I first saw him, like, this is the dumbest thing I've seen in a long time. But he just embraced it, and it just works. And I don't know, like, it's supposed to be like a PTSD thing. Like, he's trying to heal himself, and it's still like an upward battle, like, with the mask and everything. And it's like, it's just... they haven't done something like this in a long ass time, and I can't remember the last time they actually did something like this. Like, it's like a creepy skit that people like.
Yeah, and I think it kind of adds to my point about the bad boy thing kind of working. Like, everyone, I would think everyone kind of sees that coming. You know, Bray Wyatt being heelish, but I think that people are eating it up because they do want that.
Yeah, like, when it comes, like, when they announce it, you hear the crowd cheering, like, as it come in, and when they show it, they look at it. So, it's definitely something. It's not like a Dr. Shelby thing with, like, Kane and Daniel Bryan, because they had, like, a nice shelf life, but that was, like, temporary. This has been going on for a while, and it's kind of like, you don't know, like, what is it leading to? Like, I have no idea what, like, you assume he's going to come back to wrestle, but it's like, he is, you know, taking care of his baby that his girlfriend just had, so I don't know how much he's going to wrestle, like, wrestle again.
Yeah, that's kind of the interesting thing, because they've almost set up a Matt Hardy, like, universe for Bray Wyatt, and... for him to come out of it, it's going to be interesting. What happens after that is, I'm not looking forward to that, really. Because, like you said, like, I was kind of in the same boat. Like, the first couple episodes, I'm like, I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah. And then it just, like, the third week or something, I'm like, okay, I think I get where they're going now. I can handle this. But, yeah, like, I don't need worms popping up on the mat anytime soon, like, so, and I don't need Ramblin' Rabbit interfering in matches.
Oh, be careful what you wish for.
I'm not wishing for it, I'm just expecting it, knowing the track record of the WWE.
Owie, what a maneuver. Wait till you hear that from Michael Cole. But no, that's something different that's going on. I noticed that the pay-per-view was also different, like, with, like, little things. Because one is, like, they did not waste time with that pay-per-view on Sunday. Oh,
you know, that was something that I don't know. Well, I didn't watch it much because I was not in Columbus. So, I caught the end, and it slowly dawned. I watched the main event with Baron Corbin and Seth Rollins, and I'm like, I look down at my phone, and I'm just like, hold on, did this just end before 10:30? Like, I'm like, did the WWE finally learn a lesson that they don't need to have 4-hour shows once a month on Sundays? Like, because I would assume, did it start at 7:30 like they have been recently?
Yeah, it started the same time, like it normally does. They just, like, didn't waste time. Like, you know, they have a match, they go to the next match, and it wasn't like the matches were short, they let them work. It just wasn't a lot of downtime. Like, a perfect example was the Ricochet-Samoa Joe match. They have their match, they, you know, Ricochet wins after a very good match. He's out there celebrating, having a good time. He goes backstage, and they had people waiting for him, celebrate with him, like baby faces and heels. Like, you know, it wasn't just like you see Heavy Machinery there, but you also see Charlotte there. Charlotte didn't even have a match. You know, and she was just there, like, congratulate him. And then Triple H comes out, pops up, gives him a hug, and gets a big pop. Heavy Machinery celebrates him again. They play their music. They go out and wrestle. Daniel Bryan and Rowan.
Yeah, Charlotte not having something is kind of a story in and of itself, even though there isn't much to the story there. I don't know if there's anything, you know, from Meltzer out there since, well, quite frankly, still as far as I can tell, no one else actually reports news in the wrestling media. It's probably a good thing to not have her overshadow the division at the current moment, and to let Bayley establish herself, which I would imagine the whole Bliss and Nikki Cross thing is going to help to do. I would hope. But yeah, I know that Jeremy did hit me up, kind of bounce it back to the pay-per-view, like, Jeremy's like, are you watching this thing? This has been great. Yeah. And I guess it's one of those things where the pay-per-views haven't really bothered me that much still recently. Like, the week-to-week product, you know, it's definitely in one of those periods where it just hasn't been that good recently, just in general.
It's because it's a few people they care about, and then a whole bunch of stuff they don't care about. Like, people care about, you know, Becky Lynch. They tired of Lacey Evans. People want to care about Seth Rollins. They tired of Baron Corbin. People love Kofi Kingston, and they sick of Dolph Ziggler. Like, when he came out tonight, it's like the entire crowd just rolled their eyes. Like, the New Day is like, not this again. Like, they didn't even say, they just had this expression, like, we got to deal with this. And the crowd's on the same way, and Dolph is on his anime villain. You're not going to forget about me. And everyone's feeling like, we wish we did.
That did have a very Frieza vibe to it, and I did not think about that. I almost feel ashamed of myself for not thinking about that.
I'm like, we moved on to Perfect Cell. Here's Frieza jumping in again. Like, go fight Hercule and leave us alone. Like, we're done. And then it's like, you know, we're going to talk to the powers that be, and we're going to have a 2 out of 3 falls match. And if I win, then we're going to insert a match. And I'm like, no, please don't do this. And the only reason I wasn't too surprised that Kofi won is that since Kofi won the title, he just wins every match.
Yeah, that's kind of been an interesting aspect of things. Like, hey, Kofi Kingston is the first champion that I can remember that they've had to build him up after his title win.
I mean, it's just weird because it's kind of like, it wasn't like he was losing all the time before he went for the title. It was just like, he kept winning and then he'd get screwed and just lose here and then win. Like, he'd win 3, lose 1. And people are like, you know, that whole even Steven stuff. But since he's won, he just wins. He wins clean most of the time. Not I won with, like, you know, I pulled the tights or, like, I cheated. Hits his trouble in paradise pins. He beat Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens back-to-back. After he beat Dolph Ziggler in a cage match. And Michael Cole's like, you know, you're doing too. The whole storyline is like, you know, we know Kofi wants the title. He's doing too much. And Kofi's like, I'm winning. I'm going to keep winning. Like, I'm not, like, I've waited all this time to do this. I'm not taking no days off now. Like, whoever it is, I'm a fight. Like, he's Black Ricky Steamboat right now, and it's working. Like, the crowd's not tired of him. The crowd hasn't, like, you know, gotten complacent. The crowd still chants for him, whether it's Raw or SmackDown. And I'm looking forward to him and Joe, because Samoa Joe's just a perfect bully.
Yeah, Samoa Joe has just really shined in that role since being in the WWE. And I wish, it's always one of those things too where week in and week out I just kind of shake my head at the announcers. I did not see the Kingston-Ziggler match, so I don't know if Ziggler was at Stomping Grounds. I don't know how much in control Ziggler was, but considering that they've used Kingston as, you know, the spot guy at Royal Rumble for, what, 10 of his 11 years in the WWE?
More or less.
I loved the fact that they used his athleticism to beat Dolph Ziggler in that match. Like, I just like, I know it's not really a traditional thing to have the baby face not like kind of knock the heel out basically and then climb up over the cage and out, but when you can have a guy that does outrageous shit like that and he can pull it off in a cage match situation, God bless him. Go for it, man.
Yeah, it was an awesome spot, and it was a back and forth match. Like, they were going after each other, they were trying to get pinfalls, they were working on each other's legs to try to prevent the other person from leaving. Like, that's, Jeremy didn't like the match as much as me, because he was like, he doesn't like the fact where cage matches, people try to escape all the time. His whole point is, like, you know, the cage is to keep people out and keep you in and fight, which is, like, you know, NWA rules. That's fine. I get that. WWF has always been, like, you know, whoever escapes first wins. Like, it's almost like hide and go seek. So,
oh, yeah.
But this one is, like, it didn't have any downtime. It wasn't any of those things where people do stupid stuff to justify cage spots. It's like everything made sense what they did.
Well, yeah, I may get around to watching it, but you know, the wrestling just starts stacking up and I don't bother. But because Kofi is definitely one of those people that he's on both shows week in and week out now. Like, and that was one of the few decent points. And I get, oh, that's what it was, is that just the babyface announcers are still so inept at being able to counter any type of, even if Corey Graves trots out the same argument night after night after night after night these days. Like, I don't know if Vince McMahon tells these announcers not to come up with logical reasons to defend the babyfaces, or if they're just not good at their jobs.
It's Vince McMahon. Okay. When in doubt, blame Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
No, because, like, he still has, I don't know how distracted he is with the whole XFL stuff that's coming up soon. And if you watch any of the WWE 365s, he looks like he's aging very rapidly lately. Like, he looks, like, he's old. He looks old. And it's like, of course, because, like, he's old. He's lived a long, rough life. He doesn't get a lot of sleep, but it's kind of like, you know, slippage. Like, it's like, you can tell he's still, like, hands-on with a lot of things. And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad. And it's like, the problem is they got to deal with both. And as long as he's in control, it's going to be certain quirks they'll have to deal with.
Yeah, well, you know, I would call this a quirk, and probably a good one, maybe a good one. The Undertaker showed up out of the blue this week, which was quite surprising to yours truly. I'm not sure if there were rumors out there about him popping up, but him and Roman Reigns is kind of an interesting tandem.
Yes, because that was, because it's like when they did the gong sign, I'm like, what? Because it's, like, extremely unexpected. Like, that's the last person you would think of jumping is the Undertaker. Like, why would he come here, like, you know, him and Shane didn't have that, they had that match at Mania a couple of years ago. He's never interacted with Baron Corbin. It's not like him and Roman Reigns are friends, because it's like they had a match and Roman beat him at Mania. So why is, like, why did Undertaker get involved?
Oh, I'm sure the dead man will give us a very dead man-like answer next week. Because we sure know that he is not going to play that Twitter game. Or he's going to go, WWE, since you don't let me go to StarCast, I better be starring on TV this year, bitches. And Vince McMahon made it so. But, yeah, it was a good surprise, but it's another one of those things that I guess you kind of talked about him a little bit. Ricochet's the only guy to me that's like a new star in the WWE. And I don't know if bringing back The Undertaker on the regular is going to do the WWE any favors in resolving their we don't have anyone popular problem.
Yeah, like, they've done a good job with him. He had some bumps when they split up him and Aleister Black. And, you know, you're wondering, like, you know, this whole even Steven stuff with Cesaro. And then all of a sudden, like, he's a title shot against Samoa Joe. And he actually wins. And they make it a big deal. And now they set up with him and AJ Styles. And, like, at first, it's like, you know, you're surprised he loses to AJ Styles. But it's just like, if they're going to have a feud, a non-title win helps AJ Styles, because AJ Styles, since he's been on Raw, hasn't really done too much, and like he's been out injured, and it's like you almost forgot about him. And the only thing he's been doing lately is like castigating Anderson Gallows for playing around.
Yeah, the WWE loves message senders. They love them all the time in all forms. But I mean, that does at least tell you where they, how much they value AJ Styles, even if, like you said, like I think it's mostly been the injury that has kept him off of Raw. And, you know, I guess you can't blame the guy if he's out injured. And I guess I was a little bothered by the Ricochet loss directly after winning the title. But like you said, like, being stuck in a feud with AJ Styles is definitely different than being stuck in a feud with Baron Corbin.
Very true. Like, I was annoyed too, but I understood the reason behind it. Because, like, if AJ Styles lose, why would he get a title shot?
Well, yeah, there's no good reason.
Yeah, so it's kind of like necessary evil type thing. And, like, the obvious alternative, like, well, have AJ Styles be somebody else. And I'm like, it's really no, that's the thing. Who else is there? Like, because everyone's kind of tied up with each other. Like, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley doing this. Who can mess up the local infrastructure? Bobby Lashley trying to pull down a phone pole to mess up people's Wi-Fi. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, I was just laughing at that. Like, you know, I know he's not going to, but what if he does? He's going to blow on a transformer for like a bunch of city blocks to warm up for a tug of war against Braun Strowman.
Yeah, they maybe could have made it a little more clear that that didn't have any wires attached to it. But, you know, why would you do that?
Oh, it had wires attached. They made sure to point out at the top. And,
oh, did they?
Yeah. And it's what I'm laughing at is like, how does Braun Strowman have a six-pack at that size?
I don't know. You know, you could tell he gained a little bit of weight after the injury. But, yeah, there is no reason for him to have a six-pack now. Like,
yeah.
It's 6'8" or 6'9" with the six-pack. It's
completely like Lashley unnecessary. Having one is weird because Lashley is big as hell. Braun has him by, like, what, 60, 70 pounds? and he's walking around cut up like a video game. I'm like, I know they have a wellness test because Roman Reigns got knocked. But you, it ain't no way you telling me that those two are just like, I just do push-ups and I just eat steaks. Like, come on now. Like, I know how drugs work.
They're just like heavy machinery. It's just steaks and weights, baby.
Oh, you didn't hear me and Jeremy talked about, like, you know, we was watching Heavy Machinery. I'm like, it's no way in the world Otis is wearing jeans. Not built like that. They're like, you know, they don't make short and wide stores.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what... So then what does he wear if he can't wear jeans? Like, I wouldn't think that any...
Sweatpants and Zubaz pants.
Fair enough. That would make a whole lot of sense. Oh, yeah. That guy has a very bowling ball shape to him. And God bless him because he could bench press like three of me. So he can look any goddamn way he wants to.
Yes. Well, I mean, they're very entertaining, and they can go, and it's funny when I thought they were just going to flame out when they got to the main roster, because I'm like, this just seems like this shouldn't work, and it's worked. They did the same thing with Lacey Evans. Like, they did the slow burn, just show them every week if they're not doing anything, introduce them to the crowd, have them seen, have them known, have them win matches, and now they're like a credible tag team. It's funny where they're far more noticeable than the War Raiders, even though the War Raiders are more accomplished as far as like wins and losses.
Well, yeah, that was another one that the War Raiders kind of, they were another one that they have them win a bunch of matches, and then they took them off TV for like 2 or 3 weeks. And it's just a little bit of a head scratcher. Like, and I think I've talked about it pretty much with Chris, Jeremy. Like, that's the biggest problem with the WWE. Like, I just want there to be a consistency to it instead of this 50-50 bullshit.
And the War Raiders, if that's your real name.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I really should just go back to calling them War Machine and just be done with it.
War Raiders, Viking Experience, Viking Raiders... Like, just call him God of War. Call him Kratos. Like, what does... It's kind of like, if you didn't change the name of NXT, then why change the name of WWE? Like, you changed it from War Machine to War Raiders because War Machine sounded, whatever, like a problem. But you kept the war part. Now, all of a sudden, you don't like war? Wasn't Raw war? Wasn't Raw used to be in a war zone?
It was.
Yeah, like you can be in the drop zone. Like, what's normally the drop? What normally drops in the drop zones? A bomb. So,
Shaheed, you're not supposed to think about this stuff.
We can't have like people who raid for war is a problem, but Vikings raiding is like that's okay. Like, I've watched Vikings a few times.
It's cool if it happened in history.
Okay,
it can't happen now. A raid is much different than a war.
Yeah, Aaron rolls and eyes. Are, you know, you can have Vikingsy raid and the monster among men and the almighty one. Like, it's funny what you can do. Like, you know, Seth Rollins can be an architect that's a pyromancer burning things down and slaying kings. And last time I checked, slaying kings and beasts means killing them. Michael Cole gleefully talking about how Seth Rollins, yeah, he killed Triple H. He killed Brock Lesnar. But we can't have war. What is it doing? WrestleMania is doing peacetime? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. The PG standards are weird and absurd. I mean, and I don't think that's really changed at all. Because, I mean, I do believe that at some juncture in time that Looney Tunes were PG, and I'm just going to throw it out there that they are very not PG.
Yes. I mean, it's more, like, I don't mind it too much because it's like, it's a sponsor thing. They make plenty more money doing it that way. And quite frankly, I don't miss the Attitude Era or post-Attitude Era where people were punting babies and sexually assaulting people. So, We can just leave that alone. It's just like weird, like when they moved the bar and stuff. And because SmackDown used to be like the show everyone called each other a bitch. And everybody was like cracking jokes of stuff like that and being like real mean spirited and like bullying each other. And that was fine. And now it's kind of like, you know, you can do certain things, but you can't do other things. And it's just like, it's not consistent what you can and can't do. Because no. I know it's like you worry about you going to call the Viking Raiders the War Raiders, but you basically, like, Drake Maverick is having a nervous breakdown, and that's PG.
Yeah.
Because R-Truth is ruining his life over that title. Like, my wife wants to leave me. We haven't consummated the marriage. Like, yes, an 8-year-old's going to be, Daddy, what does that mean?
Well, you know, you got to learn about the birds and bees somehow.
Yeah, like that, I guess we can wrap up. So, like, that R-Truth thing is just hilarious. Because the fact that R-Truth is just, like, a popular, credible thing in 2019 with that belt that everybody thought was a disaster. And they have done God's work with that. Like, he's lost the belt on YouTube. They had a match on a plane when Jinder Mahal was asleep. That thing of the win was just hilarious.
I think I missed the Jinder Mahal one. The Jinder Mahal one was on a plane?
Yeah, like Jinder won when they were going to Super Showdown. Jinder hit him with a small package before they got on the plane. And then R-Truth waited for Jinder to fall asleep. And then pinned him on the plane. And then ran upstairs, like, I guess, first class.
Yeah, I missed that one.
R-Truth's been wearing disguises, hiding. Like, him and Carmella just been doing, like, God's work with this damn title. And, like, you know, like, Drake Maverick's been the main one chasing them, but, like, you know, EC3's got involved. Drew McIntyre got involved one time. Roman Reigns helped him get the belt back. Like, you know, it's just been a thing. And I will say, I would never thought I'd still be talking about R-Truth in 2019. And I'm surprised that R-Truth and Carmella are still together. But they work real well together.
Yeah. Like, Carmella... I can't believe... Like, that is... It gets even crazier that she was the afterthought with Enzo and Cass. And now she's probably become, like... What, the fourth most important woman in the WWE?
Top five. More than likely, like, she's the glue that's holding that together when she's not having her own matches. And they have awesome chemistry. They're like a great odd couple that play off each other very well. So yeah. It works. And it's just like, you wouldn't think it works, but like, it's something we said before. Carmella just gets, she has chemistry and gets along with everybody because she's just naturally likable. And R-Truth is just a goofball. Like, R-Truth is funny. Like, it's screwball comedy, but it's like, I get a laugh out of R-Truth, even though I have no business laughing at R-Truth.
I guess it's always good to end on a high note, and I think all of us again on the site have kind of preached the R-Truth love. And
he debuted during the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I think he debuted when I was still in college, and it's yes. I'm going to my 20th reunion for college, yes. So I'm going to throw that out there.
He was getting rowdy as K Quick with the Road Dogg. Now Road Dogg was up until recently management in the Hall of Fame. Like, most of the people that wrestle when he wrestled are either retired or dead, and he's still around. Like, wrestling that's on Raw and SmackDown every single week. Like, he's an important part of the show. 2019. You're talking about 20 years worth. Went to TNA, did his thing, went to WWE, did his goofy stuff. You figure he'd be gone by now. He's still there.
And still in great shape.
Still in great shape.
Well, God bless R-Truth. I am going to continue to not be in great shape because I drink alcoholic beverages. Tonight's beer was Land Grant Urban Sombrero Lager. is a Mexican-style lager. If you like the old Corona, this one's definitely up your alley. It was pretty good, especially with a lime in it. So if you like a nice light beer, I believe Land Grant's reach is a bit further than everyone else. Hell, they even get to sell beer in Ohio Stadium, and not a lot of people get to do that. So there is that. The brand at Stunt Granny. I'm at DeFrango 11. He's at Shaw Farm D, and I will let you take us out.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and if you're going to brag, brag all the way, you broke boys. We are out.